Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God our Father, and from our dear Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. The text of God's precious word appointed for our consideration on this Sunday after Easter is a portion of the Thomasius Gospel selection appointed for this day, which we find in John chapter 21, verses 15 through 19, which I would read as follows. So when they had dined, Jesus saith to Simon Peter, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me more than these? He saith unto him, Yea, Lord, thou knowest that I love thee. He saith unto him, Feed my lambs. He saith unto him again the second time, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me? He saith unto him, Yea, Lord, thou knowest that I love thee. He saith unto him, Feed my sheep. He saith unto him the third time, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me? Peter was grieved because he had said unto him the third time, Lovest thou me? And he said unto him, Lord, thou knowest all things. Thou knowest that I love thee. Jesus saith unto him, Feed my sheep. Verily, verily, I say unto thee, when thou wast young, thou girdest thyself, and walkest whither thou wouldest. But when thou shalt be old, thou shalt stretch forth thy hands, and another shall gird thee, and carry thee whither thou wouldest not. This spake he, signifying by what death he should glorify God. And when he had spoken this, he saith unto him, Follow me. This is our text. In the name of Jesus Christ, our risen and ever-living Savior, beloved hearers of his precious word. As we think back over the past Lenten season and consider all that the Savior bore for us as our substitute to redeem us from sin, from death, and from the power of the devil, one word stands out as the perfect summary of his entire work of redemption. And that word is love. Unfortunately, that word is so loosely defined in our world today that it means everything from empathy for a fellow human being in trouble to sexual passion between a man and a woman, and more frequently now than ever before, also between members of the same sex. So that this word love means today very little in comparison to what it once meant, and it bears little, if any, resemblance to the love that our Savior had and still has for poor, lost, and condemned sinners. And one of the worst perversions of love actually masquerades as Christian love. People profess love for one another, claiming imitation of the Savior, but they show no real concern for a person's spiritual welfare, which is what the Lord Jesus' love to poor sinners is all about. Those who champion such a warped sense of Christian love turn a blind eye to sin and offense. They refuse to admonish and to correct one another. And in the name of love, thinking that that is loving, will let a Christian brother or sister walk unchallenged down the road that leadeth to destruction, rather than to warn him or her against lurking dangers to their souls. That, of course, is not the kind of love that our Savior has for us. Neither is that the kind of love that he would have us practice toward one another, as he plainly shows us in his precious word. No, he wants our love to him to be dedicated, committed, consuming, and self-sacrificing, such as he demonstrated toward us. A love that never grows stagnant, never grows indifferent, and never grows cold. And he wants our love for one another to be likewise. The question, of course, is a simple one. Is that the kind of love that we have for our Savior? In our text for today, the Lord Jesus probes Peter, the disciple who so blatantly and self-servingly denied him in the courtyard of the high priest's palace. But he also probes you and me at the very same time, to get us to examine ourselves with Peter as to our love for him, our Savior. And so we focus our attention this morning on his question to Peter, "Lovest thou me?" as the risen Savior's challenge to every disciple. The question challenges us, first of all, humbly to recognize and to acknowledge our sins and our unworthiness of his love. Secondly, it challenges us trustingly to cling in childlike faith to him as to our dear friend and Savior in his redemptive work for our pardon. And thirdly, it challenges us cheerfully to carry out the tasks and to bear the various crosses that he gives us as evidences of his love, and to carry them out of gratitude for his love toward us. One of the appearances of the risen Savior during the 40 days before his ascension into heaven was to 7 disciples on the shore of the Sea of Galilee, as recorded here in our text. Remember that Jesus had told the disciples before his death already that he would see them in Galilee, and the Easter angel told the women to remind the disciples of this appointment of sorts that he had with them. On this occasion, he had provided them with a miraculous catch of fish, similar to the one that he had provided them on another occasion, some 3 years before, when he was recruiting them to be his disciples. And the words just before our text says, when they had brought their boats to shore, they found that Jesus already had breakfast ready for them on a fire of coals, a breakfast of broiled fish. And it was on this occasion, under these reminiscent circumstances, that the Lord Jesus dealt with Peter concerning his disgraceful triple denial in the courtyard of the high priest's palace. So when they had dined, when they had finished breakfast, Jesus says to Simon Peter, "Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me more than these?" He saith unto him, "Yea, Lord, thou knowest that I love thee." Notice that Jesus did not address him as Peter, that stone, that solid, steady disciple who had once boldly confessed of him, "Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God." Instead, Jesus used his original name, Simon, Simon, son of Jonas. Why? Peter knew. He knew full well that he had fallen from that rocky steadfastness. He had fallen from faith. He was fortunate indeed that Jesus was talking to him at all. "Lovest thou me?" Jesus asked him. The Greek of our text is clear indeed as to this word love in these words of the Lord Jesus. The English unfortunately translates both the word phileo and the word agapao as love. These words are really as different as night and day in Greek. Jesus said, "Lovest thou me," using a word that indicates that higher, all-consuming, self-sacrificing love that he has for us, as we mentioned it before. Rather than the other word, phileo, which simply means a friendship, even a dear friendship between two people. Jesus was not only reminding Peter of his denial, but he was challenging him to examine himself self-critically. "Do you love me now, Simon, as you obviously didn't love me when you denied me three times? Lovest thou me more than these? More than these other disciples do? After all, Peter, wasn't it you who boasted on the night in which I was betrayed? Though all men should be offended because of thee, yet will I never be offended." Remember how long it was after you uttered those words that you denied even knowing me? Not only denied that I was the Christ, the Son of the living God, but you denied with an oath that you even knew who I was. Oh, how those probing words must have cut Peter to the heart, reminding him like a cold slap in the face of his once cocksure attitude and of his arrogant superiority over his brethren. "Who, me? I would never do such a thing." Was Jesus hitting Peter below the belt, as we say, in the way he phrased this question? Was this perhaps a low blow, which could have hurt poor Peter's feelings and driven him even further away from the Lord Jesus than he already was? That's what a sense of false love talks like in this world of ours today. But that was not the case. This was, after all, the Son of God himself dealing with a poor sinner out of love for his soul. This admonition, though hard, and hard for Peter to hear, was a loving admonition, such as we are directed by the Lord Jesus in Matthew chapter 18 to give to those who have trespassed or sinned against us, as we studied in some detail in our Bible class before. This question challenged Peter to recognize humbly and to acknowledge his sins and his unworthiness of the Savior's steadfast love toward him. And notice Peter's humble, penitent reply. Yea, Lord, thou knowest that I love thee. It sounds like the same word that Jesus used in the question. But Peter used a different word altogether. He used the one that simply speaks of love as a friendship or a kinship. You know that I love you as a dear friend, don't you? Peter had finally learned to measure his words so as not to boast, so as not to exalt himself, both in his own eyes and in the eyes of other people. But Jesus' question also challenges us, my dear brethren. Lovest thou me? That thou is a singular word. He's speaking to each and every one of us individually, and he asks each and every one of us today, do you really love me in that special, noble, completely dedicated way that I love you, and the way that I fully expect you to love me and your fellow disciples? Oh, how we must shrink back in all humility from popping up with a quick answer to that question. For before we answer the question in the affirmative, we should ask ourselves just exactly, how good are we? How dedicated are we? How zealous in always putting the Lord first in all of our considerations? Not very. For we fall oh so short of the mark all the time. And like the prodigal son, we are not even worthy of the question that Jesus puts to us, much less the opportunity to answer it. Lovest thou me more than these do, your Christian brethren in the faith? We might think so at times in our fleshly arrogance, especially when we see how many over the years have jumped ship on the Savior and deserted him. We've never done that, have we? Oh, but for the grace of God, we would long ago have done that very thing, though perhaps in subtle ways. Our complaining about the Lord's expectations of us, for example, in his holy word. Does he really expect us to be perfect? By our grumbling under adversity, by our chafing at necessary sacrifice, by our neglect of growth and the nourishment of our souls, and by our failure to shoulder our responsibilities as Christians. We've already done that. Yet we say, "Yea, Lord, thou knowest that we love thee, but not perfectly." Not perfectly by any means. Not in that highest, noblest way that you expect of us. And so when we say, "Lord, thou knowest that we love thee," we say, "Lord, have mercy upon us. Forgive us our backsliding and our half-heartedness. But you know that we love you as a dear friend, don't you?" That's the humility to which the Lord Jesus challenges us by his question. But Jesus' probing question doesn't just leave us hanging there in contrition or sorrow for our sins, comfortless and wondering whether we have been, yea, whether we even can be forgiven. For we see in the second place that Jesus' question challenges us trustingly to cling in faith to Christ's redemptive work as our dear friend for our redemption. What a friend we have in Jesus. All our sins and griefs to bear. Indeed, he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities, after all. The chastisement of our peace is upon him, and with his stripes we are healed. So Jesus said to Peter again the second time, "Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me?" Again, using that term that speaks of that highest, noblest, most dedicated form of love. He saith unto him, "Yea, Lord, thou knowest that I love thee as a dear friend." He saith unto him the third time, "Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me?" And this time the Lord Jesus came down to Peter's level and used that weaker term for love. In other words, "Peter, are you sure that you even really love me and trust in me as you would a dear friend?" This bothered Peter very much. Not just that the Lord had asked him this three times, which reminded him, of course, of his triple denial, but that Jesus would question whether he even loved him as a friend. It reminded Peter of what he had done. Real friends don't deny one another the way Peter denied Jesus. "I don't even know who this Jesus of Nazareth is." And he said unto him, "Lord, Thou knowest all things. Thou knowest that I love thee. You know that in my heart of hearts, where only you can see that I love you, that I cling to you as to my dearest friend, that I trust in you for your pardon and your forgiveness. Otherwise, you wouldn't be talking to me right now. Jesus challenges you and me in much the same way with this probing question. Because mere talk is cheap, we commonly say. And Jesus wants us to search our own hearts to see whether we truly trust in him as our dear Savior and friend, and rely upon him all our sins and griefs to bear. Examine yourselves, as the apostle writes, whether ye be in the faith. Not examine yourselves whether you have perfect fear, love, and trust in God, and even in your Savior above all things, but test yourselves whether ye be in the faith. Prove your own selves. Are you sure, Jesus asks us, are you sure that you believe in me with all your heart, that you believe that my holy precious blood cleanses you from all sin, even from your oft-times denial of me? Do you cling to me as to your only hope and refuge? Do you trust in the fact that where your sin has abounded, my grace and my love to you has much, even much more abounded? Oh, may we, like Peter in our text, never despair of God's mercy for Jesus' sake. Peter, when Jesus asked him this question three times, didn't just walk off in a huff and say, I'm done with you talking to me about this, like the way you're doing. But he took it and trustingly clung to his Savior, as also we must do, who first loved us, who gave himself for us as our dearest friend, to be a ransom for our sins. Let us say, with Peter, at least this much, Lord, thou knowest all things. Thou knowest that I love thee as my truest and best friend. Lord, I believe thy precious blood, which at the mercy seat of God forever doth for sinners plead. Sinners like me. For me, e'en for my soul, was shed. I can't possibly love you in return in the way that you have loved me. But there's a third challenge in this probing question of the Lord Jesus to Peter, as our text now unfolds, namely the challenge cheerfully to carry out the various tasks he gives us and to bear the crosses that he lays upon us. all out of gratitude for His surpassing love for us. Here Jesus restored Peter to his apostleship, to the office of feeding the sheep and lambs of His precious flock. Together with the other apostles and shepherds to follow them in the pastoral office of His dear church. "Feed my lambs," He told Peter. "Provide them with the nourishing food they need to grow up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. Feed my sheep," literally pasture them, it says in the Greek. That is, lead and guide them. Be a shepherd to them in the green pastures and by the still waters of my word. A tremendous task, requiring not only diligence and faithfulness, but accountability to the chief shepherd of the flock entrusted to His care. And for this immense task, the Savior's love would sustain Peter, as it sustains all faithful shepherds of the Lord Jesus, both in times of joy and in times of grief, as it sustains all Christians, even those who are not incumbents of the feeding office, as they diligently and faithfully undertake the Savior's work. But Jesus then also added to Peter the privilege of bearing a cross for his sake. This is where the children of this world simply don't get it, as we commonly say. If Jesus so loves us, why would He lay on us burdens that are seemingly too great to bear? Jesus told Peter, "When thou shalt be old, thou shalt stretch forth thy hand." And another shall gird thee and carry thee whither thou wouldest not. This spake he, signifying by what death he should glorify God. And when he had spoken this, he saith unto him, "Follow me." Now, Peter, that you know where this is all going, and what you are going to have to bear and suffer for my sake, now follow me. The expressions here indicate that when Peter is old, he would be led to a place of execution, and that he would have to lay down his life in martyrdom for the sake of his Savior. And the historian Eusebius tells us that in about the year 64, Peter was crucified under the Roman Emperor Nero. An old Peter by that time. But strengthened by his Lord Jesus, his dear friend, his dear Savior, cheerfully to make that ultimate sacrifice in gratitude to Him who loved him first, who loved him so much that He gave Himself into death to save Peter from his own sins. Is there a challenge here also for us? Indeed, there is, my beloved hearers. "Lovest thou me asks your Savior. Then be ready and willing, cheerfully and generously, to sacrifice for me as I sacrifice myself for you. Be ready to lay down not just your time and your effort and your service and your money and your plans and dreams and your willing assistance, but be prepared to lay down your very life itself rather than surrender the crown of life which your Savior purchased for you with his holy, precious blood, with his innocent suffering and death. That is our Savior's final challenge to you and to me in his probing question, "Lovest thou me?" Even as a dear friend, oh, may we always, by his never failing but always enabling grace, have not only on our lips but especially in our hearts as the evidence of our faith and the profession of our love this sincere pledge of dedication and prayer for assistance. Thou, my best and truest friend, thou didst love me to the end. Let me love thee more and more, always better than before. God grant that for Jesus' sake. Amen. And the peace of God, which passeth all human understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through abiding faith in your Savior unto life everlasting. Amen.